Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favorite podcasts from Off the Ball.
The difference is that Ali never had that wellspring of hatred towards Joe. Ali, at the end, really was sorry that he had hurt Joe Frazier. Muhammad said to me once, if God ever calls me to a holy war, I want Joe Frazier fighting beside me.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
With that in mind, we say good morning, Colin.
Hi, Joe.
And Dara, how are you?
Hey, guys.
Are you prepared for all of the abuse that you're about to get?
Be fairly used to it. It's not my first 15 I've ever picked, you know?
Not my first rodeo.
Yeah, exactly. I'm used to this now. I'm built for this.
Do you enjoy it a little bit? Is there an element of shitposting involved?
No.
Right. it's all serious all the time.
Yeah. I do my best.
It's like Owen's original power rankings, which were, you know, a weird mix of science and alchemy and factual.
Yeah.
All right.
Is it rugby's answer to the green scene?
It's definitely inspired by it. Slightly different. So you have the rolling team of the week on Green Scene, obviously. This is week by week. Can be a new 15 every week, in theory.
You saw Matthew building the start of his own empire and thought to yourself, not my watch.
No. I want the greatest of successes for Matthew as well. Why can't we both coexist and flourish?
Two empires. You know?
Exactly, yeah.
Genius borrows nobly is the quote, I think, that you're looking for. Yeah, exactly. All right. Yeah. Well, that's coming up around about 9:15. If anybody has any suggestions for it, 0879-180-180 is the WhatsApp number. Of course, you can leave a comment on the YouTube stream. can I just ask you both a personal question before we get going here?
We're scanning you.
What do you understand by the word fear?
What does it mean to us?
Fear, to have fears. Fear.
Can I ask the context of this or?
No.
Okay.
Cullum?
No, go on.
No, I'm asking you.
No, put it. I asked you a question. I'd love to know where this is going.
Well, you have to answer it first.
Fear.
Just play along. It's not that hard.
Reluctance of the unknown.
Donald Trump, there's a book about it by Bob Woodward called Fear. About his first term,
yeah,
read that, and Trump was like, "It's the way to lead is by fear. Just have everyone afraid of you, so they don't question you. You get anything you want."
And fear for you, what does it mean?
For me,
yeah.
Fear. Well, it's the anxiety of humiliation.
Mm. Ah, okay, well, that's good, yeah. Man United fear Amram may jump before sack. What? They're scared of this. They're like, maybe you might do this. And, it's better for us if you were to do that than us to actually push you out the door. Because it's going to look bad for us. I mean, it'd look even worse for you if we push you. But if you were to jump, maybe that would be the thing. Do you think they're manifesting this, Man United, these stories that are like, Amram has had enough, the scrutiny is too much, he was unprepared, he didn't realise the Man United job was so big. That's what the stories are this morning.
What is this obsession we have with this football club? Like, we have a raft of fixtures to get through from last night, and yet
I'm winding you up.
It is amazing, really.
I'm surrounded by Man United fans. I cannot miss the opportunity. Come on.
I think the truth is that don't be afraid or don't have any fear about admitting the fact that you love talking about Manchester United the most.
Yeah, we're going to bring it up.
It gets you going. There is a physical shift in your body language when we bring up United.
Loads of things get me going.
I'd say more so. I know.
It is a lot of fun.
But it's right up the top. I would say, right, Dara, that it's right up there with as much as he likes talking about Aston Villa, he likes talking about Manchester United. It's the same visceral response of pure authenticity that we saw Shane Lowry in the green on Sunday. Can't help it. He can't hide it. Yeah. Passion comes through.
Would you say you talk about United as much as you talk about Villa?
Oh, way more. But you're, the vast majority of people aren't interested in conversations around Villa and don't really care that Ian Matson's been a bust. Do you know what I mean? It's like everybody's like they're nodding along on who's he talking about? What's this? Whereas at least with Ruben Amorim, everybody knows.
Well, we have there's a vocal section online, right, who, you know, can't stop talking about United is one side. And then the other side is can't stop complaining about people talking about United. It's a big thing to do, right? It's like, oh, here we go, United again. Whereas there's a silent majority out there who love talking about Ian Matson, but they'll never put it in writing, ever. They're the type who will sit back and listen, and you'll never have proof that they actually enjoy talking about off-Broadway clubs, but they do. Well, and the people who hate United, they're the ones, they are really still listening.
I would say that when Villa were going well, I would have happily talked about them every day.
Well, but that's your sunshine boy, as John Giles would castigate you as.
No, it's just that there's less to speak about.
But there should be more, because if Manchester United are playing like Aston Villa so far this season, you know, again, it would be talked about. Oof. So Villa, there's actually loads talking about Villa about
playing.
Yeah, but I'm talking about exactly like Aston Villa, right? If they were playing exactly like Villa, we would be talking about that as well. Not just this version of United. I mean, Villa have been insipid. They lack loads of energy. It looks like it's going nowhere. That's a story to talk about.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about it. There's almost an apathy.
Well, see, here's the point. They did actually turn it around in the last couple of games, but no one noticed because you're obsessed
They scored 3 goals at home to Fulham, which I mentioned on Monday, but you just as quickly moved on. I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah.
Don't want to hear about my own club.
Sure, that did go over my head. I didn't actually see that result at
there
all.
There you go, fair. Ollie Watkins scored.
Yeah, it was mentioned.
Off a long punted ball by Luca Dean, which was beautiful. I think it's one of his first assists in a long time. Anyway, good deflection there. I understand everybody was seeing what you were doing, like squirming in the seats. Do you think Ruben Amorim...
I'm more than happy to talk about this because...
Any chance he actually walks away and...
Do you know what happened?
Are the clubs scared of that?
On Saturday...
To go back to my definition of fear.
I was watching the Brentford game and I had a load of notes ready to go because I was like, well, we're probably going to... This was going to be one of the top 2 stories on Monday morning.
Always
performance rankings.
Yeah.
Sunday blew it out the gate, making it almost seem irrelevant. I'm more than happy to talk about this. Delighted.
And we will come back to that. If you've a Man United fan out there who's got something to say, but we should talk about Liverpool.
Definitely Liverpool.
Chickens going to roost.
This is what's happening, right? So Liverpool haven't drawn a game all season, and we're into the first day of October.
The roller coaster. Are they happy now?
It's 7 wins and 2 losses.
Are you not entertained?
Well, I don't know if they're entertaining, but they have a very attractive looking squad. This is how to get the best out of them. So Mo Salah is dropped last night. When I saw him that he didn't start the game, I thought, well, that's more rested for Mo. You know, 33 years of age, long season, playing every 3 days or so. Rotated, they've a load of forwards. But if you look at the statistics, Salah doesn't get rested or dropped in many Champions League games, certainly ones that aren't dead rubbers. And this is only match day 2.
Yeah.
So quite surprising to see. And Alexander Isak, all that money spent, doesn't start again. Then the other problem they have in the money they did spend... over 100 million as a guy who did start Florian Wirtz. What are you going to do with Wirtz? What are you going to do with this boy?
Start of the season, I said he'd be player of the year. That's already out the window. It's gone.
Well, he'd have to have a hell of a turnaround now, but you never know. Yeah. It's still kind of relatively early days. Ben here, who works with us occasionally, called it. Like Ben, before a ball was kicked, says, I still think the midfield 3 from last season is the way to go. And then to have natural width up front. And Wirtz doesn't really fall into either of those categories. Now, you can play him at the head of a 3-man midfield at home to Burnley. No problem.
Mm.
This is going to be the essay conversation with Arsenal. But Arsenal, they actually did it in a big game. Away to Newcastle. Arsenal did. But Wirtz, I don't know what they're going to do with him.
Wasn't your theory up to this point that he's been bought for Europe?
That wasn't my theory, no.
Whose theory was that?
Not sure.
Well, Florian Wirtz has been bought for Europe. It's been said a good bit on the show. Wasn't your theory?
Might have been a regular guest, but no, not me. No, I thought they were just buying a hell of a player to make them more creative. But I did half think, well, where are they going to play him? I'm sure they'll find a way that he'll be impactful. But look, it's early days. Like, we've just seen September through. It's just very difficult when you cost that much money at a club that big and he starts that poorly. It's very difficult to turn around. But it's not impossible.
I don't think it is that difficult to turn around. Like, there's loads of players who take time to settle in.
He's playing now with the sense of, oh, that's gone so well so far. We've seen this countless times. Very difficult to get it back. But it's not impossible.
I think there's loads of players.
Depends where they play him.
I think there's loads of players who've taken time to settle into clubs who've changed country. You know, famously Thierry Henry was crap for 2 months. After the second international break is the bit where that body of work, that in and out, that all that travel, the you've got a gaff, you've settled in, whatever family entourage members you have got to grips with whatever language issues they might have, and you've got, you know, you've found good places to eat. That's the bit where, if it's still crap at Christmas, like, fair enough. But some people are saying it's the start of the, this is actually the transition that it should have been when he arrived, that he basically decided to knuckle down. There wasn't that much transition in retrospect last year, although at the time there was a lot of, oh, this guy's changed the playing style relatively significantly, that they're no longer heavy metal football, but maybe they were less heavy metal football at the end of Klopp than they were earlier on. It's difficult to know, and some of the best players aren't playing well, and they've got defensive issues from individuals as opposed to it being a collective. Or is it a collective?
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Yeah. Kanate doesn't look great. But at the same time, they were caught out a few times. Like, Raven Burke gave the ball away in the second half. So I don't know. It seems like as a unit last night, they weren't great. But there is a bit of a trend with Kanate, though, that he has a mistake or two in him each game. And Van Dijk, you can't really say the same for.
I thought that Kanate's form had recovered. No?
That's what people were saying, but that felt a bit like recency bias, didn't it? Like,
well, form is reasons. That's
100%. But I mean, as in like last game or two, like people were like, "Oh, he's fixed it." Whatever it was, he's fixed it. But clearly not. He didn't have a great game last night.
Yeah, they might just have to go back to as close as they had it to last season, which would be Robertson left back instead of Kirk. Is they'd have to pick a new right back. They could have the midfield three. You could argue that Szoboszlai, I know it's certainly Henry Winterfield's his way, we'll chat to him later, is that Szoboszlai's almost slightly wasted right back at the moment, even though he's doing a fine job there. But he's playing so well centre mid when he does play there, that they're lacking him. So if they have him and McAllister, Graven Burch in midfield, Salah on the right, and then on the left, Ekitike up front, Isak. Seems to be the most balanced way to line up for Liverpool. That would mean the omission of Wirtz. But yeah, it's a long old season. Like, there's no real starting 11. They're going to rotate it constantly. I'm sure he'll come good at some point. It's just been underwhelming, to say the least, with Firth for a guy who's that talented.
Was last night one of the first nights they've actually put him in his best position, though? And that's why... How bad was he? I didn't see the full 90 minutes.
No, it's not even that he's bad on the ball or anything like that. It's just it's kind of largely ineffective. And I suppose there's great hope for him when you're spending that much money on a guy who was one of the better performers on the continent under Xabi Alonso, Bayer Leverkusen. Like, this is hugely exciting.
Yeah,
to have an actual playmaker in the side. Because, like, Liverpool had a brilliant midfield last season that won in the Premier League. It was creative, definitely, but did it have an out-and-out playmaker? And, like, that they're hard to find. It's just hard to find as a number 9 as it is a number 10 that can seamlessly fit into any system or any formation that you play. So it's a very difficult position to get right. But there is a reason at the same time that Liverpool paid all that money for him. And there's a reason that people were excited that they were getting him.
Yeah, the biggest thing with him is it looks like he's expecting half a second to a second more time on the ball. By the time he gets his pass away, it's a bit rushed, and that happened a few times. I think it was the pass to Frimpong. Frimpong had made a great overlap in the first half, and the pass, it didn't make it to Frimpong, but it was just the weight of it was just like, that could have been so much better and would have been so much better if Wirtz was still with Leverkusen. So, but I don't know.
What are examples that Liverpool have had in the recent past of midfielders that they've signed where it hasn't really worked? And this isn't by any means a direct comparison, but I remember when they got Alberto Aquilani. Do you remember him? From Roma. It did not work out for him at all, but he was a hell of a good player for Roma. Now you could argue, look, Firth already has a higher profile than Aquilani ever did, and is a superior player. But I had high hopes from a Premier League perspective when Aquilani signed to Liverpool. I was like, this guy's going to really add creativity to the midfield. And again, with Aquilani, it wasn't that he was atrocious or anything like that. Just very ineffective.
But he never played.
He passed him by and he got injured a lot. But when he did play, he was fine. Like, he was fine. Yeah. And that could be what Virts is at Liverpool. It's just because of the price tag, you're thinking, oh, you want more bang for your buck.
But he will
could
play. Like,
and he could just be fine.
Yeah.
But like, I was watching last night and thinking, he could score two now tonight and set up one. And sure, then we're saying, ah, this is the start of Virts now.
Yeah.
And we're still early enough in the season and in his Liverpool career that I'd say over the next 4 weeks, if he has one of those games where he scores a couple, sets up a couple, we'll be like, all right, starts now.
He'll have that game.
He has a bit of time.
He will have that.
However, I don't know long term where he's going to fit in into that system. That's going to get the best out of.
Yeah. It almost feels like Chiesa is a better fit in that team than he is.
Chiesa's like, you know, low key turning into their cult hero.
Yeah.
The guy, you know, got the equaliser, wasn't it, against Crystal Palace at the weekend?
Yeah.
Before Nketiah got the winner.
Got that goal against Bournemouth earlier in the season as well. He's probably looking like...
Funny because, look, on paper, they're probably a better squad than they were when they won the Premier League last season.
Yeah.
But they look inferior. And maybe it's natural when you make all those changes to decide the big loss they're going to have now. Whatever about Florian Wirtz, Alisson Becker getting injured last night, saving Victor Osimhen's one-on-one.
Yeah.
So Marmadashvili comes on from start to the second half. That would be deeply concerning because you're still talking top three Liverpool players there, Alisson.
Yeah.
So that's a big problem. Canati's form.
Well, they have signed invested massively in the goalkeeper. So you assume the Georgian is good, right?
We assume Wirtz is good. Like, they're all good players.
He's no Alisson, though.
It's different, I think. Wirtz is one of those players who they're not quite sure what to do. I would have thought, you were going to reach for Thiago as the comparison there.
Yeah, Thiago's another one, yeah. Do you know what happened when Liverpool signed Thiago? You went live on YouTube.
Yeah.
It was just a random decision to go live for this one signing. And people are all over it. Because this Thiago, like, what a beautiful footballer.
Yeah. They've been talking about it for so long.
I think I think Thiago will go down, Liverpool fans. It's a pretty good signing, pound for pound. He rarely played because of injury, but he was seriously good when he did play.
Yeah.
He's a step above what Aquilani did.
Yeah, it's the highlights package.
And the moment, Virts would kill for a bit of Thiago for him. You know, I know he was really good when he played. Thiago doesn't play that much, in fairness to him.
I just remember seeing him on the sideline a lot.
The thing about, for the rest of the Premier League and Europe, perhaps, is if Liverpool do get going with this squad, do maximise the talent of it, then they're a frightening proposition. So you have Isak scoring the goals that he did for Newcastle.
Yeah.
You have Salah back on form. I don't think Salah will ever replicate his season last campaign, which is no problem. Because it was, even by his standards, a bit of a freak of nature up until spring.
Yeah.
But if he gets half of that, they're flying it. What we've seen, the very start of the season, Ekitike, if he brings that back, then you have Florian Wirtz running the show.
Yeah.
The fullback's getting into it. Liverpool would be fairly untouchable.
Gravenberch's probably the best defensive midfielder in the league at the minute.
So I'd say there's not too much panic, but we were saying all last season, wait now for any shot when the trouble is brewing, when it gets going properly, and it never really did. So this is only the second time since he became Liverpool manager that Liverpool have lost twice in a row.
Aquilani, do you know what he's doing now?
Great question. I would say, right, Ger, I'm going to give you a 50-50 between the two options of footballers, coaching or punditry.
It's got to be something else if he's asked the question.
Another Roma great, Hidetoshi Nakata, who I think got into fashion when he retired at a very young age.
Does he own like a vineyard or something like
Bolton
that?
Bolton cult hero as well.
Aquilani made 28 appearances for Liverpool between 2009 and 2012. I think if Florian Wirtz is making 28 appearances over the next 3 years, he is a coach in Serie B. A manager.
Yeah, because
not a coach. Sorry, manager.
Yeah,
manager. What's the club?
You got him.
If I wasn't going to ask that question,
the fear in his eyes, you got him. And find it, Aquilani. He was a footballer, proper football man.
Yeah.
You know, this guy loved his football.
Catanzaro.
They have a good side. Under-16s.
Okay.
He played against Arsenal in the second Andrei Arshavin game in Anfield.
Ah.
No, the first one was the four.
Yeah.
one of my favourite games ever. What a game.
Yeah.
There's another one, Arsenal fans scores in Anfield when Arsenal were in navy. Distance. Unbelievable strike. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Aquilani started that game. And I think that was one of the few games that Aquilani played for Liverpool from the start that were really big. I just think we didn't see an awful lot of him in that.
Yeah.
I never thought at 7:49 we'd be talking about Alberto Aquilani.
There you go.
That's the beauty of this show, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
There's no fear in that.
Liverpool have a tough enough run of fixtures now. They're away to Chelsea next.
Chelsea then, right? So the narrative around them is that, Enzo Maresca, possibly a bit of trouble there with recent form. Yeah. They've actually lost very few times under Maresca's tenure. So this will be a very close game. This will be very interesting. Even though, we're talking about starting 11s and all that. Like, what is Chelsea's best version? Do you know what I mean? Alejandro Garnacho started last night against Benfica.
Yeah.
Had a shot that went wide of the near post. They got Jamie Gittins from Borussia Dortmund in the summer. Yes. He spent the last few games on the bench. They're rotating a fair bit, you know. They are rotating a fair bit. But what's the best version of Chelsea? Can that overcome an underperforming Liverpool? This is a very tantalising game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it now. And then they've Man United after that.
After the international break.
Yes. And then they've the Champions League.
Does that mean... Sorry, you're on about Liverpool.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you see Jose Mourinho back at the Bridge? Meeting some old staff that he's friendly with. For the cameras, you would say cynical jar. No. Natural rapport that he has with these people.
I don't seem quite happy. I think Mourinho has his the people he likes. And if you're in that, if you're in the tent pissing out, I'd say Mourinho's amazing for you.
I was drawing the parallels myself when he came back with Inter in 2010 when Inter played Chelsea in the knockouts of the Champions League. And he was greeting everyone and hanging out in the tunnel saying hi, and 15 years later doing the same thing with the same passion. I know he went back subsequently, but it hasn't diminished. I still feel it's his one true love. It's a bit like Pochettino and Spurs.
Yeah.
They eventually will down the line be reunited, and Mourinho and Chelsea, I could see them go again.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
What do you think?
Yeah.
No. He's a busted flush. He's finished.
He need to do a serious job with them now to get that job.
I don't know. I mean, it just depends, you know, if they tickle his ego a bit, if they struggle, if Maresca falls down a hill.
Do you mean as permanent manager or an Avram Grant style?
Gus Hiddink, I'm more thinking. When Gus Hiddink had a couple of... Didn't he have a couple of interim spells at Chelsea back?
As an interim spell when he's totally retired in his mid-60s, mid to late 60s, maybe.
I can see him do... I can see him do a six-month contract with the option of another year and stays for about 18 months. You know, look, Chris Wilder's come back to Sheffield United for a third time.
He's already 62, so that's not going to happen.
Not beyond the realms of possibility. He's a young 62. He doesn't drink. Mourinho looks after himself.
Peter Crouch took 18 plus games to score for Liverpool.
I remember it. Yeah, it was a deflected goal against Wigan that went about 40 yards in the air.
Peter Crouch didn't cost 100 million.
Darragh Corcoran says Wirtz was decent, lads. Bigger problems than him in the team last night. Carol Leary says they can't carry Wirtz and Salah in the Prem. They will get outrun. Interesting to see how Slot reacts after a few setbacks. He's been lucky having 14 months of things going his own way.
Yeah,
he does seem to be pretty good at making changes in game though, so I don't know if that's so much luck.
To be fair, he's created his own luck in all of that too.
Messing with Szoboszlai, Frimpong doesn't work. I think Diaz is a massive loss. Wirtz is well able to run, not an issue. He's far more mobile than McAllister, says JWCM. Bobby Pires went from rubbish in 1 year to FA Player of the Year in year two. Hope for us all.
Yeah, I remember that. He got, was it 2001-2? Pires got Player of the Year. I don't think it was rubbish. First, I think he was again a bit ineffective. I think rubbish to great is too easy a transition. The first hasn't been rubbish; it's just ineffective,
underwhelming, like you say. Yeah.
Who was the left winger that Newcastle signed? Laurent Robert.
Yeah, the French guy
who hit the ground running, overhead kicks, running games from the left wing.
Oh, scorpion kick!
A cross between John Barnes and Ronaldo, was how he was described, the original one, by Bobby Robson after about four games, and then he. death spiral.
I think he's a bit of a cult hero for Newcastle.
Maybe, but he wasn't very good after that. Like, whatever about being a cult hero, he wasn't particularly effective over a series of games. So, do you want to start with the Laurent Robert? Do you want to start with the Bobby Pires? Give me Bobby Pires here.
Of course, obviously, yeah. I mean, Pires is part of this great Arsenal side. Newcastle were never great. Of course you want Pires. Newcastle, they flirted with the idea of winning the Premier League under Bobby Robson.
This is a question which I think is the same question you two are asking about. Oh, why aren't we talking about Villamore? JC says, if he played for United, he wouldn't be given the same settling in time.
Who?
Anybody. I think he's probably talking about Florian Wirtz. It could be talking about any of the other Liverpool players we were talking about. But that's the point. You get settling in time at a club that's well run, where there's patience, where...
Jeez, I don't know about that.
Well,
take.
Compared to... I haven't finished it yet. Compared to Manchester United, where it's a complete clown show and everything lurches from chaos to chaos because you've no credit in the bank. Nobody has any credit in the bank at Manchester United. Whereas the manager who's just arrived won the league in his first season and so therefore has some credit in the bank.
Sorry, not your part of the discussion there. The original comments I'm questioning. I would say there's a fair bit of leeway given to Matthias Cunha and Brian Mbeumo and Benjamin Sesko. I would say there's a fair bit of, well, you're new.
Well, they started well. Yeah. They're the best. They've been the best things about the team.
They've been good.
They've been objectively good. Whereas, I don't know if you can say the same for Wirtz.
Wirtz hasn't been that bad. It's just he's not doing what the price tag would suggest he was going to do.
He's a playmaker that hasn't.
I'm not sure. I think now this version of United has gone so catastrophic that it's all blended and it is put in a blender. All of the players put in the blender.
Yeah.
You're not highlighting one new player that's not working out. Like, this is a cultural thing that goes way beyond. But the reason I think that there's not more talk about Wirtz is it's not crucial for Liverpool that Wirtz isn't working.
No, it's the parallels. I made the example already of the Jack Grealish stuff, where it's like you're adding into an already successful team and they'll find a role along the way. Wirtz isn't the problem, says Quirky 1980. Kirkes is the biggest problem. Everything has to go down the middle because nobody wants to pass to Kirkes. Robertson needs to start. It's because Queven Keller left the building, says B.
You mentioned fear there at the top of the team of the show. Fear. Kirkes is playing with some, it looks like, because he looked like a confident chappy for Bournemouth, flying up and down. I was excited on behalf of Liverpool supporters that they had got this guy. So he was very tasty for Bournemouth, last season particularly. And he had been good up to that too, but last year he went to another level. He looks like he's playing with big fear.
It does look like he's scared to make a mistake.
Exactly.
Which is a big thing. He's just trying to do the bare minimum and get out of there.
That's a human reaction going to one of the biggest clubs in the world is fear. Fear of not fitting in, of standing out negatively. But if you play with fear, if you do anything in life with fear, you will not do your best work. But it's very difficult to overcome that emotion.
Yeah. Like, I think he'd be okay.
Kirkes?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'd be less convinced about Kirkes than Wirtz.
Really?
To be okay.
He's 21.
He's 21. He's a young boy.
You know?
He looks younger, or he looks older.
It's 22 in a week.
Leverkusen was set up to facilitate Wirtz. Liverpool are set up for Salah, says Carol Leary. Obviously, they weren't set up for Salah last night. They did actually go with a slightly different... And I mean, here's the thing. If the penalty doesn't get given, right, it is totally different. It's an away game against a very expensively assembled and star-studded Galatasaray team.
Your sliding doors moment is Ekitike is one-on-one. The ball's smothered. Goes down the other end, Galatasaray gets their penalty. But there's also another world where Osimhen finishes that one-on-one. There's another world where the Liverpool get that penalty at the end. That was overturned by VAR. It's free out. There's loads of that. It's more the performance at this stage of the season. Liverpool losing that game last night and playing well, which is an unlikely combination given Liverpool's talent. But if that did happen, you'd be like, okay, that's a bad result. But there's green shoots, positivity.
Yeah.
It's just that they haven't played very well this season yet. That's the only thing. This is very, very much... let's see what happens conversation, because if they beat Chelsea at the weekend, they're like, okay, look, even if they are flawed with this assembly of players, they're going to have enough for most teams, even if it's not really perfect the way that they're playing. They could win the league quite flawed in their setup, but their individuals, as they each collect the medal next May, they're all getting cheered by the fans, because all individually it was like hell of a bunch. It's one of the best squads on paper I've seen in years.
Star-studded. It's an all-star team, really.
It's just centre-back. They just badly need depth. Their new boy got badly injured, Leone, in the League Cup against Southampton last week. So they lack depth there with the form of Kanate. That's a problem. Let's see how bad Alisson's injury too is. Maybe Mamardashvili's class, so there's no problem. But looks just like still missing.
Yeah, it looks like he'll play this weekend.
Yeah.
According to slot. Of I've got a question here from Cara. I'm going to bring it to the table.
Mm-hmm.
The best new signing in the Premier League so far?
This summer?
He suggested Reinders.
Very early days, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Reinders had a hell of a debut against Wolves, but he's been good as well. He had one bad game, though, Reinders. Manchester Derby wasn't great.
Yeah.
It's fairly early days. But yeah, like, just it's the opposite here to the whole like Crouch and Perez thing. There are players who start really well and fade off badly. Shevchenko on his Chelsea debut scored in the Community Shield and everyone was like, oh no, he's going to destroy the place.
Yeah.
There's a case to be made for, although it's his second season, that Igor Thiago's like a new signing, got injured before the season started, came back at the end of last year, is now second top scorer in the Premier League.
Yeah, Club Brugge's finest.
It's, who's
the
best signing?
Xavi Simmons.
I haven't seen an awful lot of
him. Stats-wise, may not be up there, but
I'll defer to Bobby Dwyer and all the Spurs fans out there.
Yeah.
I've actually seen very little of Spurs this season,
really,
coincidentally. They drew 2-2 last night with Bodø/Glimt. I saw the highlights. Bodø/Glimt,
they're playing some great football now.
They got a draw at the end. They got an own goal draw. But I've seen very little of Simmons. So I'll defer to someone else on that. Ekotike has been pretty good.
Ekotike's a good shout, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Other than that, you inevitably go to the teams who've started well, who are top of the league. I wonder, is there anyone else that we're missing here that are like mid-table that have actually played really well individually?
The players that Bournemouth signed to replace all of their world-class defenders, who apparently were, this is going to be a disaster, and now all of a sudden they look just as good, if not better.
Mm.
Jack Grealish, says Dermot Keenan.
Yeah, Grealish.
That's a good show.
Grealish has been very good. Very good. I actually didn't think that they'd get that version of him back.
Yeah.
But they seem to... It's not even totally Aston Villa. It's the 2023 Grealish at City. He's very effective from the left.
He's mature.
Zubimendi's been decent.
Yeah, it's a good shout.
But that's more because he scored an eye-catching goal. And that will mislead you into thinking that someone's doing a really good job at their day job. But he seems to have been decent.
He's picked up a tough role in that team and he's done pretty well. He hasn't
Ever stood
it. You're gonna say, I was just going to say, you're going to say Este. Yeah, he's been okay.
He has time.
I suppose because we're in a situation, right, where the team at the top of the league are flawed. So no one's been that perfect.
Mm.
So it's up for grabs. But it's probably pound for pound. I'd say I'd have Grealish, yeah. Grealish is a good shout. Yeah. He's playing with Lisa. He did an interview actually during the week. I was meant to bring this up yesterday about, he was talking about very honest, right, Jar, about his vulnerability off the pitch. And he said what he's realised this summer is that he just wants to be loved. And if he feels the love, he will give it back to you in return on the pitch.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
You know, I think Pep kind of fell out of love with this guy a bit. He saw his celebrations in the treble. He laughed initially. And when the laughter died down, he was left with this guy. Is this guy the most committed to the cause? I'm not sure. And then he had 2 more years there where it was like, it was fine the first season after. Last season was pretty forgettable for Grealish. He misses out at a big international tournament for England.
Mm.
He's lost the love for it. This could go, Grealish could keep going down here. This could end badly. All he wanted was to be shown a bit of appreciation.
Yeah, well,
now, do we all want that? Are people very slow to admit it? Is there a fear of that?
Are people scared to say that?
That really, to get the best out of them, they just want to be loved.
Human emotion is part of life.
But I don't think it's very, it's not an acceptable thing to admit, is it? Well, to get the best out of me, you just got to be nice to me.
Yeah,
no one's going to say that, but Grealish said it. Grealish, just encourage me, show me love.
I like that though,
and I like it too. I noted it during the week and I was like, we meant to get to it yesterday, ran out of road with the other topics, but now that we brought it up naturally, that Dermot Keenan brought it up, and it was like, so you see the best version of this guy when people are nice to him. Wayne Rooney during the week was saying the opposite, that Ferguson needs to get the best out of him by shouting at him and blaming him for the mistake of others, deliberately. There's an example of a game against Portsmouth. Nani's on one side, Cristiano Ronaldo's on the other, and he says to Rooney, would you stop dribbling with the ball and pass it for once? And he's actually talking to the two boys on either side, but if he had said it to them, he would have lost them. Where for Rooney, you get him angry. I don't think Roy Keane would have appreciated being told he was great all the time. You know, I don't. It's not applicable for everyone, but it's interesting for a guy like
it
me.
It is interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
Actually, to get the best out of me, just be nice.
Yeah.
And is there any personal responsibility on Jack Grealish's part to like show up for work ready to go? And you know,
in the same interview, he admitted that he wasn't the best behaved off the pitch.
So, like, you know, I'm sure for many of his managers,
it wasn't the blame game on Pep.
I'm sure many of his managers along the way have found it relatively frustrating that, like, that requires extra attention. You know, it's like, oh, look, there's a narcissism involved in the. If you just treated me properly, I would be amazing for you. Isn't there? It's transactional.
I'll have to show you the interview because I get what you're saying, but I don't think.
I'm sorry, is that not?
I don't think that's how it came across, in my opinion.
But whether or not it comes across like that, is that not actually what's going on there?
That he's a narcissist, ultimately.
But that sentiment that you're expressing, where it's like, I need to be loved by you before I will show you and before I'll do you the common decency of doing my job.
No. I think it's to get the best out of them. He realises that positive encouragement rather than intense scrutiny is the better approach. That's all that is. Yeah. I mean, is it narcissistic to also want to be given out to?
But I actually think like Wayne Rooney is so traumatised by the environment that he grew up in that he thinks that. I heard your conversation with Keith, and it was less that. So he was angry and performed angry and then drank himself into oblivion in the aftermath.
You're talking
of
about Keith
felt angry. No, but the conversation you had with Keith about Rooney on Friday, like, I think that that wasn't the right way to handle Wayne Rooney, clearly. Like, fueling his anger in the end wasn't good for him as a human being. And Ferguson didn't really care about that in the long run. He's like, you burn yourself out there, that's grand. I've got what I want. I got my European Cups, I got my league titles. There was a way to handle Wayne Rooney, which would have been like they were winning the game. Rooney was playing well.
Yeah, he had scored. He ended up with a hat-trick.
And the only reason he scored the hat-trick is because Ferguson gave out to him is how the story is now framed. And in Rooney's head as well, it's like, oh, I was there. I know what it was like. I was like, you're already doing pretty well. You know, there's a good chance you would have gone out and run the game anyway.
He said it as a compliment to Ferguson. He finished the story by saying, "But I just realised he was getting the best out of me."
Yeah, but he actually...
I know what you're saying.
There's a deep-seated trauma in Wayne Rooney that if it had been dealt with by Alex Ferguson.
Is there a deep-seated trauma in all players who played under Ferguson?
No. I think that, like, I'm sure some of them came from very stable backgrounds and are, like, happy, good professionals who went about their thing because, like, maybe... Sorry, are you asking, did he go out and positively recruit those type of players? I don't know. Maybe there was that was his money ball. Was like, oh, I'm going to get a group of players who I know I can scream abuse at, but he couldn't do it to Ferguson and Nani. And eventually, I don't know.
No, the reason I asked that because there's a few players that come out and kind of suggested as much. I meant that
Ferguson traumatized them.
Yeah. So
I'm talking about before that. Like Rooney comes from an environment where there's intense poverty.
Yeah.
Like. You know, he's a product of the Thatcher era.
Okay.
Stripping of the identity of people in Liverpool, all that kind of stuff. Like, that's all the, like, Irish, like, all of that is deep-seated. And Rooney's drinking didn't happen because of Ferguson. It was already happening, I suspect.
Okay. I was going to give another example, but I want to get away from that stuff. Because we're talking about Grealish here initially. But Grealish didn't have... traumatic upbringing, right? He's just realised as he's matured, this is actually the best way to deal with me.
Fine. Like, I do think that there's an abdication of some personal. Like, I, as a professional footballer, should create the environment around myself. And if he needs to get a psychologist who he has in his full time employee, who's paid to follow him around going, I'm giving you affirmations now, Jack, you're the greatest. Fine. Like, if a manager comes in and offers him criticism, that shouldn't be a barrier to him being able to perform at the weekend. Do you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying.
He was enabled at Aston Villa, I'd imagine, particularly by Dean Smith, wasn't it? So he was allowed to be himself in every way. And the accountability was fine largely because he was doing the business for Aston Villa at a time when Villa was struggling. So he came, he's like, what you get with Grealish is like, you enable this lifestyle that he likes to have.
And was that the right thing for him?
But it's interesting because he got a £100 million move to Manchester City off the back of living like that.
But
of playing like that.
That's causation and correlation. Like, I'm not putting words in your mouth here, but the thesis is that because he was allowed to go out on benders and have the crack, he then performed the way he did, which is, we know it's wrong. The bender doesn't cause the performance.
No, the bender doesn't, but the feeling of freedom does.
But if he was...
It's not what you're putting into the body, it's your mindset.
There's also just a thing of maturing. Like, I don't know if you know who Johnny Manziel is. So he's a guy in college...
Johnny Football.
Johnny Football, yeah.
Great documentary.
So obviously had an amazing college career, but spent the whole time on the piss.
Yeah.
Got to the NFL, tried to do the same thing, didn't really work out. Whereas Grealish has this thing of maybe he had that Aston Villa, but now he's matured. He's changed as a person. And now... I don't like.
Is he? So we don't know. We don't know. Is the lifestyle still the same? Yeah. Like,
I don't know.
What do you know? He said himself. Like, he was still enjoying himself.
Yeah.
And it's a hell of a risk to make in a Pep Guardiola side. I mean, because Pep's not having that at all. I mean, that is just the idea of a total waste of not even talent, but like a total squandering of professionalism,
opportunity,
which Pep met these group of autograph hunters at an airport, crowded by them. Did you ever see this video?
Yeah, he laughs.
And he
out.
Castigates all of them. And he's like, what are y'all doing with your lives? You can't do this with your life. And one guy was like, well, I was a head chef before, but I make more money doing this gig with the autographs. And he was mentioning the word opportunity loads them. And yeah, it is. There's a parental control aspect with Pep that seeps into his genius as a football coach, where he has not total control over all his players, but it's feeling in the sense of that you have to live your life right all the time in order to maximise your ability. For Jack Grealish, living your life to maximise your ability goes against Pep's psyche.
But he has admitted, obviously, like you said, that some of his behaviour was wrong.
But you don't honestly think that going on the piss makes him a better footballer?
No, but again, like I was saying, it's not the act of getting drunk that makes him better. I imagine. Look, we're talking on behalf of Grealish here, first of all. I imagine it's the freedom of being able to do that and go out and enjoy yourself so you'll feel freer on the pitch. If a constrained Grealish is a limited version of him that you're not going to get. He will literally get the ball and pass it back to his fullback.
But it's an
inhibited version of him.
Are you not conflating football tactics with like real life?
I don't think they paid £100 million for Grealish to receive the ball on the left and pass it back to his full. He did more than that.
And the season
City was doing an awful lot of.
In the season where they won the treble, he started all the Champions League games, and he was more effective than the caricature of him. Like, never. No, he's like an important part of their team. As Pep decided to control every aspect of the match, he thought that Grealish is going to be able to do this with close control, and he won't give the ball away. And he obviously valued that more than him beating two men and taking a risk. We should move on because we were supposed to do some stuff yesterday that we didn't get to.
Before we do move on, I wanted to give you a few more shouts for sign of the year. Mm-hmm. Xhaka.
Granit Xhaka.
He's had a very good start to the season. Kudus for Tottenham. He's been very impressive. Even Kelleher saved the penalty.
His penalty record is ridiculous. It's well above average, but he was at fault for United's goal. He's had a few moments where the ball has squirmed under his body a bit, but he's also done well. I'd have him middling.
Okay. Mascara.
Yeah, very well, very good when he's played. Yeah. I think with Mascara, he's probably not in their strongest defence if everyone's fit, is he? He's 12th man probably, but he's not there.
Yeah.
If Saliba and Gabriel are fit, he doesn't play. But he's been good, yeah.
Jordan Henderson.
Yeah.
Brentford, player of the year, the Brentford fans are saying.
Yeah.
And not Brentford's player of the year.
Oh.
Yeah, Henderson, I think, better than people thought he was going to be at this stage of his career.
Oh yeah, he's still very effective.
He's young as well. It's just he's been around for donkeys. Like, he was a prodigy at Sunderland.
I suppose when you go over to Saudi, people kind of just presume you're of an age.
Yeah.
but he can still certainly do a job in the Premier League.
If he just could take time back and not bothered with El Etifak, and if he had just gone Liverpool, Ajax, Brentford, you're talking about a guy of everyone has goodwill for him. It's like this guy maximised his ability with Liverpool.
Yeah, it's a nice story then, yeah.
Goes to Ajax, tries something different. It was just the whole LGBTQ ambassador goes to Saudi Arabia. Then he does that interview really early when he's there and he says, no, it's fine, I'm here and all that. And then calls it a day months later. If he just could take that back, because I think people are kind of like, oh yeah, Henderson's back. Okay. Rather than, oh cool, Jordan Henderson's back. But he's doing well.
He's doing well. We do video. So, at the weekend, I was down in Carrick on Shore. We mentioned it yesterday.
Yeah.
Doing a 100K cycle for second year in a row. With a Tap Ireland.
How long did it take?
Right. So we stopped twice. There was two food stops. I think in total, it was a little over 4 hours. Riding time was about 3:40.
Right.
I'm going to say. Tough. You're riding on the hills that Sean Kelly, Sam Bennett, Bobby Power grew up on. So it was a good time, but it was a tough time. But I do have a video of one of the descents of the Tickencore climb, which I just thought was beautiful. So we have a video of that.
Did you take this?
Yeah, this was on a GoPro on my helmet.
Okay.
You have it there.
Mm. What have we seen here, Darren?
So this is the bottom, or just over the top of Tickencore climb in Carrick on Shore, just outside of Carrick on Shore. You can see we're going through some wooded areas.
How fast are you going here?
There. I had to slow down there for the cattle grade, but you'd be reaching 55, 60 at points during this. Although it might look like it, but I don't think it does it justice. And a lot of it was gravel road, so there's loose chippings. So you really have to be careful. But at the same time, it's a great rush. I love it now, I have to say.
Is it marked throughout?
Like road markings?
Yeah.
No, not really. Like the start, there was a bit, but once you get to the gravel road, it's a free for all, really. Yeah. Now, there were marshals, as you can see there.
Oh yeah.
The course, like just in case things went wrong. But
is there anywhere to pull over now? For instance, if something happens.
There was a part in the clip there where there was a few lads that pulled over with a mechanical.
Oh yeah.
At the start of it.
Is it your own bike?
It is my own bike. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it top of the range stuff? No.
No. Top of the range is like 15 grand these days, I have to say. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. It's not a bad bike, but it's certainly not 15 grand.
So that's,
that was class.
Residence is very nice. Good weather for it too.
It was a
French one next year. Is that the plan?
I would love to. If you pay me to go over.
So
if only you knew the people at Le Tap.
Yeah.
Well, they did the stage 19 of the Tour de France this year, was the Tap France.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So that was Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah, we're now
Sunday morning.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
How's the body?
Pretty good, actually, yeah. Pretty good.
I encourage people to take part here if you say you feel good about it.
Yeah. I took the day off on Monday and I just had a day of lying in bed.
Panned out.
Chill out, stretch a bit, you know.
Is there a warm down requirement? Because it's very intense over a long period of time to nothing.
There was kind of like a natural warm down because the finish was just outside the town, but you still had to cycle back into the town to get to like the event village and all the activities after.
Yeah.
So there was like 3-4 kilometres where you were going like...
Pain.
A little bit, but like you could just chill out. You were doing like maybe 10-15 kilometres an hour. You're just going through the town, like, you know. But then we were standing around for a while trying to get interviews with different people in the event village, which then you don't realise, but then after your legs get a bit sore and you're like, God, I've been standing for 2 hours here after a cycle. This is not good. I need to lie down.
There's people above collapsing under the weight.
Yeah,
storytelling.
Yeah.
People can hear this.
Yeah. I talked to Mia Griffin, who was at the event.
Right.
And Orla Walsh, peddling heroin, who used to cycle for Ireland at track level, but it's now a bit of an influencer. So that's all coming out pretty soon.
On the socials?
Socials, yeah, off the ball. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube.
Right.
I'll probably do a whole vlog of the whole thing as well, like I did last year. Right. So watch out for that.
Congratulations on winning it again.
I didn't win it.
Off the ball breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.